afternoon or good evening, depending on where you are in the world. And welcome to the latest episode of Dark Reading Radio, Millennials and the Cybersecurity Skills Shortage. Before I introduce our host for today's show, I want to tell you a little bit about the chat going on as part of the show. If you're not taking part in the chat, you're missing out on a real opportunity to engage both our guests on the radio show and your fellow Dark Reading community members. To participate in the chat, just type your comment or your question in the box and push the post button. And now it is my pleasure to introduce the host for today's show, Dark Reading Executive Editor Kelly Jackson Higgins. Take it away, Kelly, and have a wonderful show.
Thank you, Dave, and welcome, everybody. So there was a recent global survey of 4,000 millennials that was conducted by Raytheon and the National Cybersecurity Alliance, which found that only half of millennial men knew what a cybersecurity job actually entails. As for women in that age bracket, the awareness is even lower. Only a third of them knew what these jobs entail. And the report actually showed that overall, most 18 to 34-year-olds just aren't flocking to this industry. And as we know, this is a pretty hot industry. So we're going to talk about this today, as well as some of the other hurdles to getting youth and diversity into the security workforce. I first want to introduce our guests here today on the program. Our first guest is Valicia Macklin, who is Program Director for the Department of Homeland Security's Network Security Deployment Division at Raytheon, which co-authored the Millennials Report. Welcome, Valicia.
Thank you so much, Kelly.
And so there are actually some millennials in the industry today, and we are lucky to have a couple of them with us. Our first one is Ginny Imhoff-Dosharm, who's co-founder of the DC 408 and Vegas 2.0 hacker groups. Welcome, Ginny.
Hi, thanks for having me.
And last but not least, we have Ryan Seppi, who is the information security analyst at the Raytheon Group Incorporated. Welcome, Ryan.
Hey, Kelly, thank you for having me.
Anyway, thank you guys for being here. This is obviously a really timely topic. So, of course, we're all pretty familiar with this whole cybersecurity skills gap problem. There's a lot of job openings, not enough talent to fill them, and everyone's probably pretty aware of the gender gap issues, even though it doesn't show on our show today. Women make up only about 10% of the security workforce, and that's been going on for at least 2 years. So that same stat has stayed pretty flat. But you know, our hope, our future, the youth, we're finding the millennials, which is the 18 to 26-ish bracket, especially young women, just aren't going into the field. There seems to be this lack of awareness about the field and the job opportunities the field offers. One of the telling stats from the report showed that women may not be getting the guidance that men get in secondary and high school levels about the industry. About half of the women in the survey said that cybersecurity programs and activities weren't available to them, whereas 39% of men said the same thing in the age bracket. So it was just really interesting, that the numbers that we saw here. So I'm going to start with Alicia, because I know you guys were involved heavily. Obviously, you co-authored this report. So I just wanted to get your perspective on why this is happening in a hot job market that's craving talent and has such a wealth of positions and opportunities. Why are the young people not schooled on it as we think they should be?
Thanks so much, Kelly. And there are a couple of things. You noted one of them, which is the education. The young men and women particularly weren't exposed to cyber as a career in high school by a teacher, by a guidance counselor, by a parent. So they had no live application of what even a cyber professional, what that work entails. They know what a lawyer does, they know what a doctor does, but what is a cyber professional?
And that just seemed really interesting to me that, you know, people are, they seem to be more aware of obviously computer science as a field or coding and programming, but not the security side of things. So that just seemed really interesting to me. I'm going to kick this over to Ginny and then to Ryan, because you guys are in the industry, and I'm wondering, you know, how you found out about it, how you ended up in the industry, and did you see these similar hurdles that the survey is reflecting? Ginny, can I start with you?
Yeah, I was aware of it because of my peer group. And so I had a very close-knit group of friends in high school that were into computers, and so I was able to kind of grow with them. But outside of that, there is a huge gap, and I think a lot of it has to do with just, like you said, understanding what security is and if you don't value internet security, then you're not going to see a value in the job. And that's a big problem I see.
That's a really good point. And was your peer group pretty tuned in then to internet security issues? And I'd love to get an example of kind of how you were exposed to it.
I think like the best example is you see all these millennials posting pictures of their credit cards on Twitter. And it's like, hey, I got a new credit card, check it out. And it's got the clear text of what the number is and expiration date. They just don't understand why that's bad or what the repercussions of that are. Same thing with passwords and sending, you know, interesting photos of themselves to friends. So there's a lot of different things that they just don't see the negative or the bigger picture of. And as a fact, it's so why get into security? They don't even understand why we need security in the first place.
Ryan, what has been your experience and sort of how did you end up here?
So I started out, I think a good place to start would be to pinpoint what I think the two reasons there's a lack of millennials in cybersecurity. For me, it touches on both Alicia's and Jenny's points, a lack of exposure for education at a young age, and granularity. So at the collegiate level, it's just starting to kind of get to the point where cybersecurity is becoming a curriculum, whereas the fields beforehand were less granular. So there was, as you stated, there's computer science and IT, but what does that really mean? That just puts you in a technology field, but how does that apply to the job market? And I think that also leads to the lack of understanding of what cybersecurity is. So again, to summarize, I think exposure at a young age with the Internet of Things, everyone has smart devices now. It's not like it used to be where when I was going through high school, there's the first iPhones were coming out with Internet capabilities and things of that nature. Now every device that you can name has Internet capabilities, and with that needs to have a security component, but I'm still not convinced at the amount of education that's happening at that young level, and because of that, I think a lot of people are not aware of cybersecurity and the potential behind it.
How did you end up in the industry, Ryan? What was your sort of path that got you there?
So originally I was a computer science and IT major, and then towards the end of that, I started thinking into where will I end up in the job market, because IT is kind of nebulous. There's just so much you could do with it. And as I said, there's not too much granularity there. So towards the end of my senior year in college, I started looking for internships and see which had the parameters that suited my interests. And one of the internships that I came across was a security information security internship for a healthcare network. So working there for 6 months, I was able to see how security kind of fit in with technology. And from there, I developed a passion. And I think that actually happens more often than we'd think.
I think you're right, because a lot of the early pioneers in this industry were obviously there weren't any security programs or cybersecurity programs, and there were several who didn't go to college, actually went from high school to the industry and sort of learned on the job. I've seen a couple comments on Twitter laughing about the title of our show today, because these are guys who've been in the industry for a while. They said we didn't need to have someone tell us about it. So people do find out about it somehow. What's with this generation? So the other big question here that keeps coming up is the gap with women, and there seemed to be a huge awareness gap with women. Felicia, can you talk a little bit about how you read that statistic and what you think is happening there?
Yeah, it's, there not only was the gap existing between men and women, but what we saw year over year from last year is that gap widened by five times in degrees. And part of that trend was, again, the emphasis on the young women indicating that by a higher percentage that no teacher or guidance counselor had come to them, but then also this desire to do a job that they were good at and not feeling that they would be good at a cyber position. And what are we looking for when we're looking at a cyber professional? We're looking at problem solving, communication, the ability to analyze situations. And when you tie that to their skill set, that interest increased. And so that lack of exposure, when you have 21% of millennials saying they were exposed to a cyber profession, but then those that were exposed, 60% garnered an interest in it. So getting that hands-on exposure very early is very key, but then also translating the profession to skills that young women felt that they could be good at. And so it wasn't just a programming aspect. It was the problem solving or the behavioral science when you talk about being able to look at people's behavior. And we all know that people are the biggest or the weakest link in our cybersecurity protocols. And so the lack of awareness, that lack of a sense of knowing that I can be good at this because they don't know what the profession looks like. And this year, that that gap widened, and that was particularly concerning for us.
Yeah, that seemed really sort of strange to me, too. Jenny, what do you think about this whole, like, the idea that maybe the field is not being presented to young women in such a way that they would get interested?
I totally agree with that. I actually had an interesting experience about 2 years ago where my son's school contacted me because they were holding a STEM career day and didn't have any volunteers, which is kind of interesting when we're living in San Jose, which is pretty much the heart of Silicon Valley.
Right. Yeah.
And knowing that I have a lot of involvement and passion in this, they finally pinged me, and they only gave me a week, but I was able to show up with 5 volunteers, including myself. And half of those were women, or 3 out of the 5 were women. And we was a grades of third grade to fifth grade, which is much younger than the millennials right now. But the girls really just lightened up the moment a female walked in the room and said, "Hi, I'm a hacker." It was not the image that they ever had of a hacker. And one was a very kind of just normal, professional looking, but young, early 30s woman. And the other one had the bright purple hair and combat boots and a young 20-year-old woman, and she was the more technical one. So they just never saw that image of what an information security professional is. They think of somebody as kind of older and in a suit and sitting at a computer coding all day. But having the demonstrations up there and having them explain, like, no, you get to interact with people. You get to do this whole multitasking job of wearing different hats every day. It's not just about staring at code. And you watch the eyes just light up. And after the day was done, it was the young girls in the class that were running up to the female presenters and just wanting to hug them and were just so excited, like they were rock stars, because they've never seen anything like that before.
That is so, a great story. I've seen that too at the DEF CON Kids in the past. There have been a lot of girls, little girls, participating just as many boys, girls as boys, and one of the there are women there too, but mostly men hackers constructing them. But they do love when they see a female member of the industry walk in too. So it really seems like it is a matter of mentoring and maybe, presenting it differently to the youth, to the potential youth talent.
There is also a very interesting, there is a digital divide because the teachers didn't even know about these things. That's why they had trouble kind of accessing speakers to come in. They had no clue what we were talking about. And so if the teachers don't know these careers exist, then the children won't.
That's really interesting. The other question I wanted to ask you guys about, this came up, I think it came up in the Raytheon study as well as the recent ICS Squared Booz Allen report, and then we had a column last week by a contributor that sort of brought this up about sort of the scarcity of entry-level positions in the industry. Basically, so it seems like some of the job requirements really do don't attract people who don't have experience, and maybe they're written in such a way that you don't have the proper requirements. They're higher than would normally be required for most entry-level positions. Belisa, I'd love to get your thoughts on that. First of all, what you think about, you know, is the part of the problem that they're not offering jobs that are really entry-level and accessible for young people?
I think it's a combination. So you highlighted on there are many that are in the field today did not have a cybersecurity curriculum as their education or would have gone straight from high school to performing as a network administrator or something to that sort. I think the challenge with the perception regarding the entry-level positions is that a lot of the job postings require certifications. So, for example, you have 49,000 job postings that require CISSP, but there are only 65,000 CISSP holders. And so if you're requiring a certification, and those certifications require experience, but you don't have you can't get the job unless you have the certification, and you can't get the certification unless you have the experience, that creates kind of an immediate gap. But there are ways to remedy that with regards to entry-level positions, and that's looking at the scope of positions that exist in the field. And so you do have that information assurance specialist. You do have that behavioral scientist. You do do internships or reach out to the university so that students, and Raytheon does this quite a bit, where students aren't just getting the classroom curriculum experience, but getting the opportunity to have real-world scenario application while in school that then helps that launch into entry-level positions once they graduate.
In the meantime, is there some way for employers to provide a position that actually has maybe some built-in training to get more of the young talent into the job market? I could start with Belisa, then I wanted to get everybody to weigh in on that one.
Oh, absolutely. And I think the diversity of disciplines that folks can enter the field with in terms of education launches that. But that on-the-job training, that mentorship is techniques that we use, as well as internships, are those techniques that we use to help launch entry-level professionals into the field while they're still working towards their certifications or getting broader experience.
I'm going to jump to Ryan. Ryan, have you found, like, in your journey when you came into the security field, were there some skills maybe that you were missing, and how did you overcome that for the position? And what advice would you give to young people who are kind of in that boat?
Right. Yeah, I would say there were certain skill sets that I had not yet acquired to the point that I am now. To add upon Felicia's point, I think internships are a huge gap attractor. Basically, it gives you work and real life experience in let's use this focus, the cybersecurity field. And kind of bridges the gap and will provide you that level of experience maybe to get that entry-level job. But I think that whenever I had a knowledge gap of something that I wanted to learn or that was prevalent within the industry, basically self-teaching and trying to find the answers yourself are just as important as knowing the answers already. And that was done through certifications and things of that nature. As Felicia said, it's difficult with things like the CISSP requiring basically a few years of experience to take the test. But there are certifications that do not have those requirements. For me, I took the SANS GSEC, and that was a huge help. And I plan on taking other certifications within SANS, like the Ethical Hacker and things like that. People don't know this, but a lot of people don't know this, but when you take certain certifications, ISC Squared will allow you to test out of a year for things like the CISSP. So you could bridge those gaps. And I think a lot of those information gaps can be bridged heavily through internships, through a job, which there are a great deal of internships out there, and people that are at the collegiate level or even before can acquire those for either high school or college credits. A lot of the universities and schools offer that. And then certifications are another knowledge. You're able to bridge that knowledge gap, and I'm a huge advocate of certifications and increasing your knowledge base. So,
Jenny, did you experience, like, when you first got in the industry, were there situations where there was a skill set you didn't have and that either precluded it or you had to overcome? Or
yeah, there's always skill sets that I need. And I am still in college and trying to catch up and validate that technical side so that I can pursue my career. And I think one of the big things that I see missing is an understanding of what certifications do you need? What classes are out there? It's very easy to see, like, okay, if I want to be a doctor or a nurse, I need A, B, C, D, and E. But when you say cybersecurity, people just blank. They have no clue where to even begin, let alone which paths to take. And, you know, there is a huge lack of going on the internet. I can't just search, what do I need to be a cybersecurity? There's nothing that's going to say, hey, here's a good place to start. Look into, you know, this and look into that. It's just, you have to find it on your own, which, like Ryan said, is a great skill to have, but it also is a deterrent for a lot of people to get that first step.
That's really interesting. And the other theme I noticed in the report, and I wanted to start with Alicia to kind of touch on this a little bit, it seemed like there was sort of an actual interest gap, and that might have been part of the lack of education gap, but I think everybody's touched on this a little bit here, but, you know, we see everybody coming out of college wanting to write the coolest new app. You know, coding is the hot term. I see that my kids are both in college and all their friends are in the computer and programming side of things. I tell them about security and they look at me like, oh, that sounds interesting, but they haven't heard of it. And I'm always surprised, like, you know, that they aren't as tuned into that. They're more excited about writing apps and, you know, the next big app company. So, Alicia, what do you think about that part, the actual interest issue? Is there an interest problem with millennials not really being interested, or where they just don't know about it?
Well, there are two things. One, it's a latent interest in that when you ask them, do you want to embark in a career that makes the internet safer, right? So when you start to translate it into other terms, that interest existed. Or when you translate it in terms of, do you want a career that allows you to have support a mission or values that are important to you, then that resonated. And then, of course, salary, those things resonated. So there was latent interest when you translated different terms for what we mean by our cyber career. But there was also another stat that came out of the survey, which was there was a very low percentage of young people that actually admitted that they were aware of a cyber threat or attack in the past year. You know, it was, you know, like under 30%. And so you think about the, you know, issue with Sony or Target, the fact that you had a lot of millennials who said they weren't even aware of a cyber attack last year, then that also drives the lack of understanding that there's a need for security. Or you heard Jenny mention the habits that many of them had online. So and this survey was global. And so we saw globally some trends with poor cyber hygiene in terms of internet behaviors, computer behaviors, in terms of passwords, Wi-Fi access, those sorts of things. And so if you're not aware of the threat, then that level of awareness of the need to secure that environment diminishes as well. When you make that threat known, and you make the skill sets that are needed known, then we did see that interest spike.
Yeah, that seems to keep coming back to the education awareness programs. So that seems to be really the underlying issue here. Is that a fair conclusion, Alicia, what do you think? Or
It is. It certainly is when you start to look at once students were made aware, or you had the real life scenario that Jenny mentioned, and that, you know, I've been exposed to as well, is when you give young people early access. So Raytheon has a program that we call Engineering is Elementary, where we give grants to secondary schools to help expose and to universities as well. Getting that exposure very early to what the field is, and so it's a challenge across all the STEM professions, but getting that early awareness and partnering, that public-private partnership and collaboration is very critical. There are a lot of teachers, I think Jenny mentioned that as well, that teachers aren't even prepared to be able to share what it means to be a cybersecurity professional. And so as we engage more as a community to broaden that awareness, you do see that interest spike, and the statistics from the study indicated that as well.
Jenny, did you want to weigh in on this by chance?
Yeah, you know, one interesting thing I've kind of noted, especially living and growing in the Bay Area, you're at the heart of a lot of this. And we saw, you know, when the economy dropped, people stayed in college longer. And so a lot of millennials are going back to college more than before. And I think there's a certain kind of, you know, this attitude of this laissez-faire, we want to be sharing, we want to be open. There's a lot of Burning Man people at college. And along with that attitude is also, you know, why do we have to keep everything secure? Why can't everything be open? Why can't we free the code and everything just be shared, which is great in a lot of aspects, but they don't necessarily translate that to like corporate ideas. So you can share your code, but then you're going to lose that edge. You know, we saw this like with the Google and China attacks. A lot of people were just kind of like, it just went right over their head. They didn't understand what was being stolen and why. And a lot of millennials think, well, great, you know, knock off iPhones. That just means it's good for me. But they don't see the economic value of why we need to secure this and not that.
That's a really good point. Ryan, what do you think?
Yeah, I have to agree with that. I think it all comes down to a lack of understanding. A lot of people, they see the end results, but they don't really know what goes behind that, what needs to be secured, what was exploited. And I think a lot of that is unfortunately media driven. I just think they kind of encapsulate the end result, but they don't do a good job of explaining why it happened. So everyone knows of the target attacks and things like that, but they don't understand that like point of sale systems are typically very vulnerable and things of that nature, like with Home Depot and Jimmy John's. People know a lot of people that are in the gaming section they know that PlayStation Network went down, but they don't know what went behind that, that there was DDoS attacks made by certain groups, Lizard Group. But I think it's, as Jenny said, I think it's due to a lack of understanding. And that all comes back to, I think, all the facts not being encapsulated and just kind of summarizing it. And that's really, I think it's a poor job done by the media to kind of get the data out there for everyone to kind of assimilate.
I wonder too, with some of the security practices you guys touch on, because I see that too, is there's just not like consequences either financially or otherwise, you know, privacy wise. You see every once in a while you'll see a case of that and then start to care about, you know, I better have a better password. But even with the young people, like you're saying, they're much more open about things. They want to share information, but they don't always realize that sometimes they're sharing too much or leaving themselves open to being breached and that type of thing. So I think that's an interesting other angle at some point to touch on. But we've got a couple more minutes before we go to do our chat. And I just wanted to check in with each of you and see if you wanted to sort of see any final thoughts before we go to the online chat. I know we covered a lot of ground here and I didn't get to even ask half the questions I wanted to ask you, so we'll do that in the chat. But starting with Alicia, did you want to bring anything else up or any other final thoughts?
Yeah, I just think as a final thought that the collaboration amongst, you know, companies like ourselves and universities to help increase that level of awareness and particularly targeting young women to making the profession something that they can adapt to and visualize will be key in addressing the gap that we see in talent and the need.
Jenny?
Yeah, just talking. Not talking to just people who are interested, but talking about security to everyone. Even if it doesn't look like they're listening, at least you're normalizing it. And that's always kind of the big message I want everyone to take home is talk about security at the dinner table. Talk about your password changing and just normalizing this into our society.
Ryan?
I would say that educating at a young age is pivotal because that's where a great degree of our interest for what we want to do for the rest of our lives kind of peaks. So I think trying to get these, as Jane said, normalized and kind of get these part of the culture driven through education is key to getting millennials into the workplace and kind of bridging the gender gap for cybersecurity as well.
Great. Well, I really appreciate your time today, Valicia, Ginny, and Ryan. It was a great perspective from all you guys. And thank you to our listeners. But we're not leaving you. We're actually heading over the chat. And I'm going to hand it back to Dave right now. But thanks again for listening today.
Thank you, Kelly. And thank you, wonderful panel. I know I plan on now taking my kids and locking them in a room and forcing them to watch a whole bunch of webinars about security. Speaking of webinars, if you enjoyed this show, and I know I did, Dark Reading has a webinar Tuesday, December 8th at 10 a.m. Pacific time. And that webinar is called Hunting for Potential Threats in Your Enterprise. It features Ryan Klo, Senior Security Engineer at ThreatStream, and John H. Sawyer, Senior Security Analyst at InGuardians. We'll be posting the registration link to that webinar if you're interested. With that, our guests are now heading into the chat room. If you haven't already headed into the chat room, now is a perfect time to ask questions and make comments about what you've heard. To do that, just type your question or comment in the box and hit post. They'd love to hear from you. It's a great way to participate in the chat and learn more about the Dark Reading community. With that, I'd like to thank Kelly and her wonderful panel of guests. This has been Dark Reading Radio, Millennials and Cybersecurity Skills Shortage. Thank you very much for listening, and we'll see you in the chat.